Welcome to Commissioned, the Air Force Officer Podcast. Here we explore the training and development of America's leaders in the application of air power and the profession of arms. The views expressed are those of the hosts and do not reflect the official policy or position of the United States Air Force, Department of Defense, or the U.S. government.
Welcome back to another episode of Commissioned, the Air Force Officer Podcast. I am Colin Slade.
And I'm Reed Gann, and we're your hosts for Commissioned. This week, we are excited to bring you the first in a two-part series on the Air Force Academy. This has been a pretty glaring hole in our How Do You Officer sessions plan, right? We've covered OTS pretty extensively. We've covered ROTC extensively, yet we haven't given enough attention to the Air Force Academy, the other leg of the triad, if you will, in the commissioning scheme. The person we interviewed for this one, buddy of mine, David Rowe, Air Force Academy graduate, and he and I are actually working in the same unit doing a similar function right now. We're in an internship together. Really excited, a lot of stuff to share, and you know, don't want to spend too much time in the intro. Is there anything you wanted to cover, Colin, before we went right to it?
Yeah, first and only thing I want to say about David is how impressed I was by his ability to represent well his knowledge and experience of how to get into the academy. And then coming up next week will be the second part on how to academy. I was impressed by how well he represented these two aspects of the Air Force Academy without feeling like I was being beat over the head by his giant door knocker ring. So great job to David, and huge thanks to him for providing this information to us in such a way that the rest of us non-Zoomies were able to really internalize.
Right on. And with that, let's turn it over to the interview. All right. So, David, thanks a ton for joining us today. This is an episode that we have long promised our audience, and we're finally getting to it. This is the last part in a three-part series about how to become an Air Force officer. We've already covered officer training school and ROTC. This is part three, where we're going to talk about the Air Force Academy. And David, we're looking forward to having you walk us through this final source of accessions, the Air Force Academy. So why don't you take a few minutes, tell us about yourself, you know, your AFSC, what year you graduated, where you're from, family, anything you can think about your career to date, and we'll get going from there.
Awesome. Yeah, glad to be here. So I'm Captain David Rowe. I grew up in a military family, so this is a bit important to actually the application process to USAFA and you know, later in the podcast. But military family. Dad is in the Air Force, so moved around quite a bit. And then in, I think, 1999, my dad joined the National Guard in Wyoming, and we settled down in Greeley, Colorado. So that's where I call home. So he was able to be active duty National Guard and deployed quite a bit out of there, but we stayed in one place. So we kind of got best of both worlds for the military deal there. Grew up in Colorado. Then I went to the Air Force Academy in 2010, graduated in 2014. So now I am a 14N intelligence officer. I got real lucky and got England right out of the bat. Mildenhall, RAF Mildenhall. Spent some time up there. What was it? About 3 years. Got to do some deployments to Middle East as well as to Eastern Europe. So, yeah, real lucky. Now I am in the JOCCP Junior Officer Cryptological Career Program here in Washington, D.C. So, been a great career so far. Been really lucky. And, you know, honestly, a lot of what kicked it off was me going to the Air Force Academy. So real excited to talk about that.
Yeah, awesome. We're looking forward to it. And you and I are actually in the same program. That's where we met, which is funny. I was the world's worst sponsor ever. So for the audience who may not know, when you are assigned to a new unit, someone is identified individually to be your point of contact when you're going to the new unit, right? So help you get settled, they can help you find a house, they can help you do anything you need in your new duty station. That's your sponsor's job. And David, I was your sponsor when you were coming here to start the program. And then I got deployed to the United Kingdom. Anyway, worst sponsor ever, but I'm glad that we finally met and that we've been going to this program together. It's been pretty great. So again, appreciate you coming on. So let's get right down to it. A lot of our audience is pretty familiar with ROTC. Bottom line, you go to one of the cadre members at a college and you start the process there. For OTS, we've gone through that application process in depth. But how does one kind of start? Where do you, you know, when you're thinking about going to the Air Force Academy, this is not something that you can, you know, late senior year of high school kind of think about doing. Kind of break that down. Where does one begin when they start thinking about going to the Air Force Academy?
All right. So it's the Air Force Academy. One, it is a college. So you're getting a full 4-year college education, and think of it as a top college, right? Maybe not quite as difficult to get into as an Ivy League school. Maybe, you know, in some cases it might be, but academically it's not quite as high. But you still need to have very good grades. So you need to be thinking like, okay, hey, I might want to do this like starting freshman year of high school. Just like, okay, I need to buckle down, get good grades, do extracurricular activities. But when the rubber meets the road, it's 1 year out is when you need to start applying, one year out. And so you'll have like the normal college application process, you know, writing a paper about yourself, turning in all of your, you know, academic things. They call it a PAR, prior academic record, when at the admissions process. But the actual first thing that you need to do, which is different from any other application process, is you have to get apply for a nomination. So you have to get nominated by the congressional member, or there's a military nomination. So the first one and the most common one is a congressional nomination. So that's basically you're getting nominated by a member of Congress in your state. So either a senator or the representative in the district that you're at. So you go to academyadmissions.com and they'll have like a draft letter that you fill out, and then you mail to, it's recommended that you mail to both your senators and your representatives. So you're trying to get as many people as possible. And each senator and each representative will have a different admissions process, but it's usually pretty rigorous, like multiple interviews, usually having to write your own papers, like a panel of folks, and then a separate one-on-one interview. And then eventually you'll meet the actual senator or representative if you get far enough in the process. And then they go, oh yeah, you're good. We want to sponsor you to get a nomination to get into the academy. So the smaller states obviously have fewer representatives, so they send fewer people. So like if you're in California or Texas, you have a lot more representatives and you have a higher chance of getting somebody. Somewhere in like Colorado, it's close to the Colorado Springs where the academy is at. They can be really competitive because there's a lot of people that know about it and want to get in. So it really depends on the state how difficult it is just to get a congressional nomination.
Okay, that's really good. I knew that was a component, but I wasn't sure. I mean, that's kind of an intimidating thing to just throw on a 18-year-old kid. You're like, hey,
absolutely.
At some point, you need to meet your senator and get their blessing. Like, good grief. So, I mean, outside of going to the admissions website, is there any thing that you found to help you get there? Is there like a person to help you walk through this process? Or is this one of those, like, if you want it, you got to go get it and buckle down and get it done?
Well, it's like most things, right? No one cares about you more than you. But there is a person, they call them an Academy Liaison Officer, ALO. Sometimes they're called Service Academy Liaison Officer. And usually in your area, maybe school district, I'm not sure exactly how they're broken out. There's one for each academy. So there's one for like the Naval Academy, one for the Army Academy, and one for the Air Force Academy. So if you are interested, you can talk to your counselor at your high school or in your local area or something. I remember I talked to my counselor, and my counselor put me in touch with the Army and the Air Force ALO. And so they can help you with this process. But really, when it comes to like that senator nomination thing, it's really just submitting the letter and then practicing how to interview.
Wow. Another thing that I just thought of is all these physical trips to DC, is that on your own dime?
Oh, sorry. That you're not going to DC. So usually your senators and stuff, it's going to be through their staff and it'll be locally. So you might have to travel down to, like in Colorado, for example, I had to go down to Denver for, you know, maybe twice. And yeah, and then if it's your representative, like there should be in your district, it should be a lot closer. But, you know, if you're in California or Texas, you might have to travel a little bit to go see these people. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, good. So in addition to the nomination from a representative, what else goes into the application and how does that get done? Is it like a paper board? Is it like stuff you mail in? Kind of walk us through that.
Yeah. So just about everything at the Academy, they measure you by three separate things. So they measure you by your academics, your character or your morals, and your physical standards. So basically when you apply, you have those three things that they're weighing you on, and you have to do stuff for each of those things. So again, the academic part of it is just your GPA, your SAT, ACT. It's like a normal college application. And then they weigh in like, okay, what college classes did you take? How hard is your high school? And then they basically give you a score. That's done by an admissions board at the Academy, pretty transparent to everybody else. So you're not going to see that score yourself. Basically, just get as high of grades you can in high school, take as many college classes as you can, and then score well on the ACT, SAT. Again, it's like as if you're trying to get into a top college in the nation, you want to really excel.
And that seems to be demographic they're trying to recruit, right? You know, I've heard other people compare the service academies to those elite university institutions, and that seems to be kind of the target demographic. Am I wrong on that?
Yeah, I'd say by the most part. Like they on the admissions website, they pulled that generally top 3% of your high school class is the people who get admitted to the school. But I met a lot of people who were not that. And they really excelled in the other two categories. So it's a whole person. So yes, it's a top school and having good grades is going to get you in there easier, but it's not necessarily the only thing that they're looking at.
Got it. Awesome.
So they're also looking at your character and your like who you are as a person. So they're for that, you're going to need three school evaluation papers. So they call those SOEs. And that's going to be three separate letters that are going to have to come from your 11th or 12th grade main studies teacher. So maths, English, or sciences. So it can't just be like your buddy teacher who taught you how to do basket weaving or something like that. It has to be one of those main teachers. And again, they have mock draft ups on that Academy admissions website. But most teachers, if you say, hey, I need a character reference, they should know what that is because that's required for actually a lot of college applications. So you'll need three of those. And there's a bunch of other caveats. If you're not exactly from high school, they have other like exceptions and stuff for different reasons.
So say you were like homeschooled or something like that. Is that what you're talking about there? Okay.
Homeschooled, yeah. It just needs to be like it could be your pastor at your church or somebody, you know, a coach from a team that you were on or something.
Got it. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. And then you will also need to, through the application process, they'll have a two or three questions on the application process that pertain to character, who you are. And I think yeah, it's like a maximum 3,000 words to answer those. And it's usually a little bit more personal, like what the Academy, what service means to you, why it would be a good fit, that kind of stuff. And so generally, yeah, you want to be, you know, have that paper look good because they're not just, you know, they're also going to be looking at how you write.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
And then you will also have to do a personal interview with that ALO, so that Air Liaison Officer. So he's going to sit down and make sure that, you know, you're not some crazy person or that you're normal. So that one's usually pretty low threat. Your ALO is going to be your buddy trying to help you out through this whole process. So not only will he help you get through things, but like you have to interview with them at least once through this whole thing. And then they check that box for you.
So after you do the character stuff, then it's the physical side of things. So do you actually do like a PFA, a mock PFA, or is it all like, hey, I was lacrosse champion for state X? How, you know, what are they looking for there?
Right. So it's called the CFA, so Candidate Fitness Assessment. And I'll read off what it has in there. So it's basketball throw, pull-ups, flexed arm hang for woman, shuttle run, modified sit-ups, push-ups, and a one-mile run. So you have to do all of that, and they have basically minimums for it. And then they have like target things saying like, hey, this is what you should aim for. If I remember, it was really hard, and it's still really hard. It's a pretty hard test, but I'm not 100% sure how much they really look into it. I think if like you fail on every single metric, they might be like, okay, hey, maybe this person's not fit enough for the academy. But I know a lot of people that did not do well on this CFA and still got in. So I think it's more of just they want to see that you did it, and then that you at least can meet some of the minimums, not necessarily being like the most physically fit person that the world has ever seen. Now, again, the school itself has a lot of PT, like a lot of physical training. So the better shape you in going in, the easier time you'll have. To get this test done, you need to have it done through either a PE teacher at your high school or your ALO. So either one of them can administer the test. And there's a whole bunch of rules of times and how exactly, what is a pull-up, what is a sit-up, what is a push-up. It's all listed there. Yeah, your PE teacher and then your ALO will have done it a million times. So
got it. Okay. As part of this application process, do you have to go through some sort of medical evaluation like enlisted members do, go to a MEPS and make sure you meet the physical requirements, turn in your medical records, that kind of stuff as well? Or does that happen later?
Yes, you will. So while applying for all of this stuff, you will initially submit like your academic requirements. That's the first thing that you submit. And then once you get the thumbs up that you meet the minimum academic requirements, you'll basically be considered a candidate. And then you'll start the character, the physical, and then you'll also start the medical. And again, especially the medical, you'll want to start about a year out. Because I remember I had asthma when I was like 8 or 9, and because of that, that was like a thing that technically was supposed to disqualify me from even joining the military. So I had to go get a bunch of screenings and go see a bunch of other doctors to be like, no, he doesn't have asthma anymore, he's fit, you know, all this stuff. So you basically having to get waivers for certain things. So the sooner you get the medical stuff knocked out, the quicker. I'm pretty sure that most of the medical stuff is paid for. You don't have to pay out of your own pocket for. So I don't know the exact details, but again, all those details when it goes into what is paid for, which appointments, it's all detailed on the Academy Admissions website as well. Your ALO will know that information as well.
Okay. Yeah, man, it's involved. That's interesting. I mean, again, as we're talking through it, I'm like, well, clearly there's got to be some sort of medical screening at some point.
Yeah. One thing to make sure is that when you join the Air Force Academy, you are joining the military. You get a CAC card and you get a secret clearance when you... So yes, you are a cadet and you are a college student, but you are, no kidding, you are in the military. You could be called up for service in times of emergency. And that's something that a lot of people don't really fathom when they get there. They think, okay, I'm going to school first and then I'll join the military, kind of like what ROTC maybe is a little bit more like. But no, you are in the military, so that's why this process, especially that medical screening, can be pretty rigorous at first, because they want to make sure that, hey, you're in the military, so you got to meet those standards.
Okay. When and how do you get told, hey, congratulations, you've been accepted? Is it a letter in the mail? Is it an email? Like how, you know, does your ALO show up wearing their service uniform looking all spiffy? I mean, how does this happen that you find out that you, David Rowe, will be a member of USAFA? Like how does that happen?
Well, so it depends on what type of congressional nomination or nomination you got. So that's actually one thing I didn't touch on was, so I mentioned that there was congressional nominations, but there's also military nominations. And so like if your family is prior military or there's all sorts of different caveats, there are different types of nominations to get into. So like I got a presidential nomination, which it's because my dad was prior military and had been in for a certain amount of time. There's a reserved number of slots for prior military that the president goes, yep. Now, I didn't get to meet the president, but it's technically his nomination sending someone there. So it really depends. The presidential nomination, for example, we got a letter in the mail, and so I learned even before my ALO.
Okay.
Congressional, it'll usually be your ALO will get it, and then you'll also get something in the mail, and then even then, like, your senator might even call you up and be like, hey, congratulations, you have been nominated from me. Like, we're going to have a party. All of you nominees and your families come over and we'll all meet and stuff. So it can be pretty cool. Yeah.
And then, so yeah, I guess it'll just kind of depend on not only the venue or the type of nomination you receive, but also the personality of the individual who nominated you.
Yeah.
So for you, you said you got a letter in the mail. Was it from like the White House? I mean, come on, that's gotta be pretty cool, right?
we're going back. Yeah, it was from the White House. Yeah, it was a letter. It did look really official. And then I think 2 days afterwards, my ALO called and said, hey, congratulations, got this. I would like to present this to you. I remember our high school did a lot of like, hey, when people get these awards and stuff, like end of the year, like end of senior year, and like these people got these scholarships and stuff, they presented me and a couple other guys that got into academies those documents, like, hey, these guys got the nominations there.
Awesome. Oh, that's outstanding. It's got to feel pretty incredible.
Yeah. No, especially, you know, as we just detailed, it's a long process. It's like you need to start a year out. There are some people, I think my dad, my dad was an 85 grad from the Air Force Academy. He got in some backhand way, last minute, calling people and stuff, but I don't think that happens anymore and is really rare. So it's like the earlier you start, the easier it'll be. And usually you'll get your information by, I think it's January to March-ish timeframe, like, hey, you've been accepted of the year that you're going in. So you'll be like, for sure, I got accepted to the academy, like second semester of your senior year.
Okay. Sounds good. At that point, you're accepted. Is there any sort of, like, do you go swear in, you know, like a delayed enlistment type thing? So the background for there, right? When I was selected to go to officer training school and the announcement had been made public, I had to go down to the local military entrance processing station and swear in delayed enlistment program. I was basically on the books at that point. And I think I'm not technically on the books because at any point I could have pulled chocks and left. But it was, I think it's partly to keep track of me a little bit, you know, and also to make it seem a little more real. I mean, I'm telling you, right? I'm sure you had the same experience. The first time you raise your right hand in front of a flag and an officer swears you in, like, that's a big ding. Like, you can really feel it. It becomes real. But that also, that paperwork allowed me to get on to military installations, allowed me to like go in and look at military clothing and kind of get prepped for OTS. Once you get accepted, are you kind of tracked in any form or fashion, or is it more like you just start getting ready?
You just start getting ready. So this is where the academy is a bit different. So you'll show up your very first day at the Air Force Academy. It'll be like, I think in May or maybe the first week of June. They move the dates every so slightly a little bit. You'll obviously know that you'll get like information of like report to United States Air Force Academy on this day. And your family will drop you off and you'll basically go through this building and you'll in process. So you'll get a CAC card, you'll get issued all your stuff, and that's when the fun begins. You start basic cadet training that day. So you get your head shaved, you get on that bus, and then somebody gets on that bus and starts screaming at you and gets in your face. And you're like, oh, wow, okay, this has started. So then you have 6 weeks of basic cadet training. And I think that end of that first day, or maybe it's the second day, you take something called the Oath of Allegiance as a like basic cadet in training. And then once you get through basic cadet training, you get sworn into the cadet wing. So you'll make like a statement, I guess, all together on the parade grounds. And then you have 2 years at the academy where you can decide if you want to leave at any time. You don't own any commitment to the military at all. So it's a unique system. So you have 2 years. And so by the end of your sophomore year, they have like a commitment dance and dinner. So it's like a big dinner. And you can leave up to that point. But if you stay all the way through those 2 years and you stay past that commitment dinner, you have to graduate. And then it's 5 years commitment. And then that's like after that commitment dinner, you swear in and you like officially part of the military in that aspect. Yeah.
Awesome. Hypothetically, things go really bad your senior year. Do you owe money? Do you owe an enlistment? Like, what happens once you've made it past that commitment time? Because we had students at OTS the day of graduation not graduate for a variety of reasons. And until they cross the stage, they are not committed. And so I'm just curious what the difference is between your accession source and OTSR in that regard.
Yeah, so it depends. Like there are folks who get kicked out for drug-related offenses, and so they're dishonorably discharged from the military, and they can't serve. So afterwards, so they owe $200,000 to the U.S. government, so they have to figure that out somehow. None of anyone I was really close with ever got kicked out, so I don't keep in touch with any of them that, you know, did or, you know, decided to quit for whatever reason. But I know some are medically disqualified or honor violation or something like that, and they leave. They generally will have to make it up with some sort of enlistment. But yeah, there are some that they just owe a lot of money to the U.S. government.
Okay, because that's something that we actually haven't discussed. If you get accepted to the Air Force Academy, it's essentially a full four-year scholarship to one of the best universities in the country. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. The number that they throw out is a $400,000 scholarship, because that's including like a lot of the extracurricular programs that they have there that are above and beyond what normal colleges have, like powered flight, glider, jump school, all those other things. But yeah. Yeah, it's a good deal. And I'll be honest, one of the reasons why I joined when I was in high school is because I said, oh, like I'll have college paid for. That's pretty nice. So that was like a huge motivator back when I was 17.
Yeah, sure. So in addition to school being paid for, you get some sort of monthly compensation, question mark? I think you get some sort of allowance or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So you get I think you get paid like $1,100 a month every year that you're there. But when you first show up, all of your uniforms are given to you, and that's taken out of your pay, as well as a number of other things like your textbooks your freshman year are given to you. So basically, your freshman year, you're making maybe $200 a month, but you're not really allowed to leave the cadet dorms area much of your freshman year. So you don't really spend money on much of anything.
Yeah, you're basically in jail anyway. So, I mean,
Yeah. And then, you know, there's a chow hall that you basically have to eat at. So you're not spending food, you're not spending it on, you know, cars or going out and partying and stuff. Like, you're. So it doesn't really matter. By the time you're a senior, though, you're making that full about $1,000 a month stipend. It's a pretty good system, I think. By the time you're a senior, the reins are a little bit looser, so you're starting to live on your own. And I think it's good to start learning how to manage money and take care of yourself a little bit better. So
yeah, absolutely. No, that's awesome. Cool. Well, that is a super helpful breakdown, you know, on the application process, on timelines and everything like that. You know, you've given us a lot of good nuggets. Any like big hints, tips, and tricks that you think you might like to offer the audience if they've got somebody either that they know that's thinking about applying or they themselves are thinking about applying? You've given a lot already, but, you know, if you could kind of give some last few nuggets of wisdom on that.
Yeah, absolutely. So one thing I didn't really touch on was the like extracurricular stuff and sports that they really look at. Again, they're looking at the whole person. So I met one of my best buddies. Grades was not his strong point throughout a lot of high school and didn't take too many college classes. But he was like team captain on a wrestling team captain on a swim team. Like he had a lot of leadership and a lot of sports and was extremely athletic. And then also did a lot of extracurricular activities. So he did a lot of charity work. He did a lot of outside work through his church and stuff. They also look very highly on Boy Scouts. In fact, I remember when I was initially applying, so I was a Boy Scout and an Eagle Scout, and they said the number one thing that they look for a lot of the times when they're looking for stuff is like who will actually, when they admit to the academy and who will graduate. So they're looking at who are the people that are going to get through. The number one correlation to someone getting admitted and then graduating is actually being an Eagle Scout. A strange thing, but apparently if you're an Eagle Scout, they look at that as that's a pretty good red herring that you're going to do well at the Air Force Academy. Something to do with, you have to do with a lot of bureaucracy in a big organization, and you learn a lot of skills that maybe are useful in the military or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm an Eagle Scout, and I've been a scout leader for a number of years as well. And it's, you know, in the very low single digits of the boys who start who actually will end up with an Eagle. So I can kind of see that correlation. You know, they're looking for that stick-to-itiveness.
Exactly.
Right? That ability to navigate and do something on their own and take some leadership on. And yeah, no, I can kind of see that. That makes sense.
Yeah. Cool. So again, so if your kid or you are looking to get into the academy and grades aren't your strongest point, don't go, oh, I can't do it. No, really buckle down and look for leadership opportunities. And it doesn't have to just be in sports, although they do look at sports pretty highly. It can be in music, theater, through church, through Boy Scouts, anything else. They really highly like leadership stuff and that whole person mentality. So like try and build your resume of like, hey, I was in charge of this. I led this group. I have these skills just outside of school. And that'll really help your application process.
Cool. Can you help clarify the prep school? I've heard it spoken about. I know it's a thing. What is its purpose? Where is it located, and how does it fit in to USAFA?
All right. So prep school is located on the Air Force Academy grounds. So the Air Force Academy is actually a massive base. It's huge. The cadet area is really small, and that's the one with the pictures with the chapel and the dorms, and that's a really closed off area. The academy is this massive area. It's actually gorgeous grounds right up in the Rockies. And the prep school is probably like 7 miles away from the Air Force Academy, but still on the base. That's how big this base is. And it's just a smaller version, I guess, of the Air Force Academy. And it's basically for those people whose grades, their academic grades, don't quite meet the requirements that they think are going to get into the academy. But all of your other things are pretty good. So you're a really, really good athlete, but your grades are pretty lacking. And the reason why they want to send you to the prep school is because if you went to the Air Force Academy, you probably would flunk out. That's what they're thinking. Like, you're just not there yet. Your skills, your study skills, your writing skills and whatever aren't quite there. And we don't want you to send you into, you know, into the fight and get kicked out really quick, because a lot of people that freshman year, you're dealing with a lot of other military stuff, and then the academics are pretty rigorous, and it can be quite a shock to people who haven't really done like a bunch of college level work before. So that's basically what it's for. So a lot of the recruited athletes that are like super good football players, super good soccer players, but their grades maybe aren't quite as high, they'll go to the prep school. And they'll learn a lot of the academic skills, study skills, but then they'll also learn a lot of the military schools. So your prep school people will know how to wear the uniform, know how to march, know how to, you know, do all the customs and courtesies of the military a lot better than your freshman year straight out of high school folks.
Okay. And I do know that a lot of the guys I have talked to specifically that went to prep school, they were athletes. They were student athletes, Division I athletes, recruited to go play football or whatever. And they mentioned going, and I guess that makes sense, right? You know, if your normal education and life experience doesn't quite measure up in every way that we think you're going to be successful, but we still think you could be, it's kind of like a warm start, if you will. Okay, that makes sense. Do you know how that, is it like, hey, you've been accepted to the Air Force Academy, kind of? Like, or is it you've been accepted to the Air Force Academy, and then you get another page that says, just kidding, we're going to send you to prep school because we think you can, but we're not really sure. Like, do you know how that process works? Or
I'm pretty sure it's like, yeah, you've been accepted, but you need to go to the prep school first. I think it's something along those lines. And then there's also another thing. I think it's called like the Falcon program. And it's basically, they go, you are not quite ready yet. and we're not going to send you to the prep school, but you're going to go to these other programs that will prep you. So basically, try again next year. So you're not the prep school, you're 100% in. These other programs, you're not 100% in, but they say, hey, you're going to be pretty good. And there's a couple different sources. They're basically like military schools that I had a couple friends that go through, and I'm really not familiar with exactly how that process works. But basically, they do a year there learning basic military things, doing some study skill stuff, and then they get re-looked at again, and then they'll get into the academy a lot of the times through that program. So if you don't get in right away on your first try, it's not the end of the world. There's a lot of people who do very well at the Air Force Academy going through the prep school or going through those other sources. I think it's called the Falcon program.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And something that I like to tell our audience too, at the end of the day, we're all wearing the same rank. No one knows what path it took for you to get there. And frankly, no one really cares a whole lot. So if you had to stumble, you know, start three times, whatever, you're the one that's standing on the stage at the end of the day, right? So that is really interesting. That's been helpful. Again, I've known that this prep school is there. I wasn't really sure. That really helps clarify that a lot. All right, Colin, what do you think of that?
You know, as I said in the intro, I'm really impressed by David and his knowledge, the way that he is able to present the information. It's so good that I want to be sure that we're getting this out to as many people as possible. And he said in the interview that the application process to the Air Force Academy needs to begin at least 1 year out prior to showing up for basic cadet training and the start of the semester. So we're talking about getting this information to, you know, 17 and 18 year olds, sophomores and juniors in high school. And I just have to ask the question, how do we reach them? I know when I was a sophomore and a junior in high school, when I was 17 and 18, I certainly wasn't thinking about what I was going to do a year from then. I wasn't listening to podcasts. So how do we reach that demographic and make sure that we are getting them this type of information so that they can act upon it?
You know, and maybe that's part of it, right? Colin, you and I, we think we're pretty smart, but maybe we aren't forward thinking enough. You know, and so maybe that's why, you know, we have talked about, you know, the three accession sources are looking for similar qualities, but different people. I mean, I didn't commission until I was 28. Man, I missed the boat, right? A decade late before I kind of figured it out relative to the typical academy start, right? So, but I have found my calling. This is what I am meant to do. And I know that now. So it is tough. The thing that I would also like to throw at you, you know, I don't have a good answer, first of all, for your question. But secondly, he said you needed to start a year early. A year out from the start of the academy is too late to decide to be a community leader. A year out is too late to decide maybe I should care about school or athletics or personal development or any of those things that he mentioned, character, physical fitness, academics, you know, those three pillars that they're looking for when they talk about academy accessions. It's too late. It's way too late. And that's something at 17, 18, 19, I didn't really know. And I think a lot of people don't really know who they are and what they want to be at that age. But maybe that is the type of people that they're looking for. And that kind of makes sense if that's the target audience. But yeah, very interesting questions. I don't have answers to. But I can say, one thing I do want to say, I think it's working. In many ways, I think it's working.
Yeah, I can agree with that. You know, the Air Force Academy produces really stellar officers most of the time, right? And I can get behind with what you're saying, that the Academy is assessing officers that are at a young age, already very self-aware, which is awesome. But at the same time, that population is then self-selecting. And there are And the way that most of them will get this information is that a friend or a family member who went to the academy previously shared this information with them. And so that self-selecting process just perpetuates itself. And it ultimately becomes very, very much a family business. Those who go to the academy stay within this very niche and very small group of people, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, but if the Air Force desires and values diversity of thought and experience and background, then there is a kid out there in small town USA somewhere who doesn't even know that the Air Force Academy exists, who would be fantastic for that institution if they only knew that it was an option available to them. So how do we reach them? I don't know.
Yeah, good thing there's a whole recruiting command and a whole lot of ALOs and other smart people. But yeah, it's funny. I'd been a part of the Air Force nearly 10 years. I'd visited once before as part of a sports thing. What an amazing place, though, to go to as an airman. And I now feel a significant obligation to help spread that message to those in my circle. But like you said, Colin, my circle has already been self-selected to a large degree. I will talk to airmen. I will talk to airmen and their families. I will talk to other service members. That's my circle now. So yeah, interesting problem for sure.
Right.
All right. Any other things that you wanted to discuss after the first half of our discussion with Dave?
Yeah, there's one more thing that kept coming up in the process of applying to the Air Force Academy, and it's come up in our podcast multiple times before, so it's that important. It's this idea of the whole person concept. With regard to applications to the Air Force Academy, it manifests in the neat categories of academics, character, and physical standards. And that those three things tend to describe all the values that we place on our officers, that of being able to execute the mission, to lead other people, manage time and resources and other things in support of a mission, and then making improvements on the unit or the space that is around you, the community that is around you. So I just wanted to reemphasize that fact that this is beginning even before people get into the academy. We are evaluating and assessing that whole person concept and how they fit into it.
And that theme of whole personal or whole airman concept will persist throughout an Air Force career. Every board that you are subject to, every promotion, every annual award, you name it, everything that makes up you is going to be considered. And it's the little things too. It's how you wear your uniform, how you address other people, the emails you send, the way you leave your car and walk to the building. You know, every little thing that you do will contribute to that concept, that idea of who you are as a whole airman. So yeah, really wanted to emphasize that point again. Awesome. Hey, thanks for listening to this week's episode of Commission Ed. Again, this is the first in a two-part series on the Air Force Academy with our guest, David Rowe. Colin, it was awesome to hear what he had to say. Looking forward to sharing the next week's episode, which is How To Academy, where we go in depth on basically what happens each year, the big milestones and the transition points, and the ultimately resulting in a second lieutenant.
Yep, looking forward to it. Thanks for listening to this week's episode of Commission Ed.
Thank you for listening to Commission Ed, the Air Force Officer Podcast. The views and opinions of the authors expressed herein do not state or reflect those of the government and shall not be used for advertising or product endorsement purposes. Mention of any specific commercial products, process, or service by trade name, trademark, manufacturer, or otherwise does not necessarily constitute nor imply its endorsement, recommendation, or favoring by the U.S. government. The mention of companies by name is solely for the purpose of discussion and should not be implied as endorsement.